God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be with you. Amen. Merry Christmas. We still get to say that. This is the season of Christmas. So it's not just a day. It's a whole time in which we think about these things. Although, the lesson for today is not very Christmassy. And in fact, it's kind of dark. It goes back to this same kind of Old Testament context, the violence of the world into which Jesus was born. And King Herod, if I were to extend my sermon in that direction, was a very, very dark character. And yet, God has for us a plan. The text for us today, in the second chapter of Matthew, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.'" Joseph did not expect to take a sudden trip to Egypt. In fact, I doubt that Joseph had ever expected to go to Egypt in his life. Why would he ever go there, of all places? In fact, of course, Joseph did not expect to be a married man at this point. They had a plan for some time in the future, but it wasn't yet. Or to be a father already. And Mary didn't expect to be a mother. And the shepherds didn't expect to see angels at night. Or the wise men didn't expect to see a star that would interrupt their lives and send them off on this big long journey there and back again. All these people had things they didn't expect. You can imagine, they get up in the morning. Joseph's had this dream, the angel in the night, and he has to tell Mary, "Well, honey, we got to pack up again and hit the road again, and it's going to be 350 miles. I don't imagine that was a very welcome thing. Nobody expected any of these things. In spite of dozens of Old Testament prophecies about what would happen, still, when it came down to the details of their daily lives, nobody expected what happened in the birth of the Savior. Nobody was prepared for it. In a moment, for each of these people, something happened. There's a dream, there's a vision, there's an angel, there's an announcement, and their whole life was changed. The wise men, the shepherds, the people of Bethlehem, even those people who slept through it all, now when Herod comes sweeping in, their whole life is changed because of this event. Nothing would be the same. Maybe you like stories with surprises. Mostly we do. We like movies with a twist at the end, that kind of thing, right? But the people in the story, do they like the surprise? Not really. The angel says, "Flee to Egypt." And that sounds like a sort of travel brochure to us. See sunny Egypt, you know. This is really interesting. We portray them. You've got the little cartoon in the back of your worship folder. The donkey and the people going through the desert, you know. That sounds easy. What are Mary and Joseph thinking when they get these three words, "Flee to Egypt"? Oh, sure, that's easy. What about our stuff? We just finally got unpacked, right? We were just finally settled in here. What about our family? We're going to leave everybody behind? It's just us? We don't know anybody in Egypt, and we don't speak the language. What about our plans, other commitments? Joseph says, I've got jobs lined up. I've got projects that are half finished. I've got things I told people I would do for them before we can leave. What about money? How much money are we going to need? What about food? Where are we going to find food? What about 350 miles of walking? How long is that going to take us? And for that matter, where are we going in Egypt? What about the first month's rent and the security deposit? You know how it is when suddenly there's a big change and all those details are not resolved. How long will we be there? Lord, God doesn't tell them any of these things. And in fact, this is true for us. God sends us on a sudden change of direction, and he does not tell you, so here's how it's going to work out, you know, and we'll do this, we'll make sure of that. Don't worry, I'll handle this thing over here, and we'll provide this. Here's a credit card. No, God doesn't do that. Your life changes direction. You go off to now what? And he says, in essence, you'll find out as we go along how I will provide for you. Day by day, step by step. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, they leave with what they can carry. And then it's manna and quail and the rock that appears with them everywhere they go and the water that God provides. They have to trust him day by day by day. Have you ever noticed that God likes surprises? God doesn't seem to like to tell us ahead of time, hey, prepare yourself, I'm going to be changing this, or this is going to happen, or you're going to go this way or that way. God likes happy surprises. Uneven happy surprises, you're going to have a baby, are kind of shocking, aren't they, and life-changing. God gives us sad surprises. And God gives us scary surprises sometimes. Think of all the things that you didn't see coming. Think about it. There's a plant closing, and hey, you're going to be good. If you want to move to Tennessee, there'll be a job for you in Tennessee where we're moving the plant. You don't know anybody there. They speak a different kind of English there. Or you can stay here and be unemployed. And that's another land. Or you had your vacation planned, you had your time planned, you had your budget planned, and now we're going on strike. Or, by the way, in the new year, our company has been acquired by another company, and we're going to be reshuffling things, and so you don't really know what's going to be happening by March, April, May. Sudden changes that come up, the phone call. We always think about the phone call, and now most of us don't even answer our phones because we're getting so many calls from people that, you know, that we don't want to talk to, these robots and scammers and so on. But remember when you just picked up the phone? Somebody said, this is your doctor's office. Or an officer showed up at the door. And your life just suddenly changes direction. This happens to us so often. How many of you would say that your life from where you began to the destination that you had in mind, that your life followed a straight line and that you went right there without any deviations or detours or dead ends or doubling back or do-overs from beginning to end? Nobody. The old joke is, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Is that scary? Should it be scary? Or should we know that God has his own plan? That although we have lots of our detailed plans, God has his own plan. And there is always a plan that is larger than your plan. Like with your parents, when you were a kid and you wanted to know the plan. I want to know when is lunch. I want to know what are we having for lunch? I want to know, what am I going to get for dessert? And mom says, you'll find out when you get to the table, right? And you'll eat it happily. Well, you want to know, where are we going? You want to know, when are we going to get there? You want to know, are we there yet? And mom and dad, they often told you lots of things about the plans, but then they also just changed the plan because they had a larger plan than your plan. You had a plan. I was going to play with Legos. And they said, we have another plan. We're going to do something else. There's always a larger plan than your plan. Would you like to know God's plan? I have it here. Do you want to know God's plan? This is one you didn't get in Sunday school. It's called, the story of God's plan was called, The Dragon That Tried to Eat Jesus. Do you remember that one? No, and it would have made such excellent Sunday school leaflets, wouldn't it? The dragon that tried to eat Jesus. And in fact, that's the thing that's missing from our manger scenes. We don't have the dragon perched on top ready to eat Jesus, but it's in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they give us kind of the picturesque part of the story, the stuff that we like. But the big picture, you know, if you want the big picture of the Christmas story, you got to flip to the Revelation of St. John at the end of the Bible. The Revelation of St. John, this is a difficult one because it has maybe too many details. It has all these symbols, but it's this big picture image of what God is doing. So in chapter 12 it says, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. This is representing the 12 tribes of Israel. She is like the fulfillment, the culmination of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this person, she was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. Didn't read this story before? She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God. Who do you think that child is? This boy who would rule all the nations. I'll give you a hint. His name starts with a J. And there was Satan waiting there to devour him. Matthew gives us the visible details. In Matthew and Luke, we learn about mangers and shepherds and angels in the sky and wise men and traveling from Bethlehem and Egypt and so on. But in John, in Revelation, we get the big story. We get the larger picture. John reveals to us what this is about, that we are slaves. We are prisoners. We are captives. We're held captive by an enemy who's trapped us in our sin. And God mounts an invasion of the earth. God breaks into our world. So think of the Marines landing on a beachhead. And he sends his son into our world. And of course, what do you do if somebody is invading and they're coming, they're going to land on the beaches? You're there prepared to shoot them, right? That's what Satan is doing. Satan is ready to destroy, to devour God's Son as he invades our world. John gives the big summary, so he does, he compresses everything. He says that this Son ascended to heaven. We get to the end of the story already. He ascends to heaven. What about the lady? She represented all the Old Testament in summary. And now she represents for us the bride of Christ, all the believers. She flees into the desert, into the wilderness, but there is a place for her there. God cares for her there in the wilderness. It was 2019, and pretty soon it's going to be 2020. That's this time, the wilderness for the bride of Christ. God has a plan. Again and again in Jesus' life, Satan would try to divert Jesus from his plan with temptation, with obstacles, with opponents, right? And yet, even though we see, if you read the Gospels, you see Jesus goes to Egypt, he comes back, he goes to Nazareth, he goes here as his ministry begins, he goes around and about. First of all, he spends 30 years, all these years growing up, and then all these years working as a carpenter or a builder. Isn't that wasted time? Isn't that diversion from what we want him to do? But he does this, he does that, he travels here, he goes there. It's hardly a straight line, and yet as you read the Gospels, every single thing that Jesus does and everything that happens in Jesus' life is a straight line of fulfillment of all the things that God said would take place as Jesus is going directly to the cross. His path leads straight from the beginning to the cross and to the goal that he had, the purpose that he had for himself, and of course, especially for you. Now, your life, maybe your life seems a little twisty. You know, it's not going the way that you thought it would go. I've changed my major 3 times, and I'm still not really sure what's happening, where I'm going to go, and when I get out of school, am I going to have a job? And yet, God's purpose, you are learning day by day. He is teaching you all the things he needs for you to know. And your finances take a sudden left turn, a wrong fork, a hit a dead end. You didn't expect for this to happen. But God has for you a treasure set apart in heaven. And all that you will need. And your mortgage, you look at your house, and you're thinking, man, I don't know, when we retire, our mortgage isn't going to be paid off. And I don't know if we can afford this place, and what are we going to do? But God has prepared a place for you. God's plan goes forward no matter what. Our lives seem to twist and turn. Satan pushing and pulling, drawing us, opposing us, attacking us, seeking to devour us. But God's plan is still there. My favorite picture of this is a window, a stained glass window, at St. Michael in Richville, Michigan. St. Michael, they've got, up at the altar, they have just to the right of the altar, I think, behind the pulpit, there's a big, tall, skinny window, and it portrays the Archangel Michael with this spear, like this. And beneath his feet is this dragon, but the dragon is coiled up around him, just wrapping him up like a boa constrictor, you know, trying to crush him. And his foot is on the dragon's head, and his spear is being, you can just see this motion in the image, is being thrust down through the head of the dragon. And I like that picture because that dragon is every wrong thing in my life. That dragon is my enemy. We call him Satan, which means the accuser. He is the one who reminds you of every dumb thing you've ever done. He is the one who brings to mind what a failure you are. He is the one who tells you that you are not loved by God. He is the one who tells you that you will fail and die. And what happens to him? Jesus goes to the cross and crushes his head. And the dragon, who was poised to devour Jesus, fails. I know it was hard for those people of Bethlehem, hard for the people of Israel, hard for so many, all the people then and all the people now, all the twists and turns in your life, and yet every single step, your Heavenly Father is working out His plan for you. His plan to bring you to Himself. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.